Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is recorded in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, and we'll read select verses from the first two chapters. I will read a slightly different translation than what is printed for you. We read as follows in Jesus' name. Absolute futility, says the teacher. Absolute futility. Everything is futile. I hated all my work that I labored at under the sun because I must leave it to the man who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will take over all my work that I labored at skillfully under the sun. This too is futile. So I began to give myself over to despair concerning all my work that I had labored at under the sun. When there is a man whose work was done with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and he must give his portion to a man who has not worked for it, this too is futile and a great wrong. For what does a man get with all his work and all his efforts and all his labors under the sun? For all his days are filled with grief, and his occupation is sorrowful. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is futile. There is nothing better for man than to eat, drink, and enjoy his work. I've seen that this even is from God's hand, because who can eat and who can enjoy life apart from him? For to the man who is pleasing in his sight, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and accumulating in order to give to the one who is pleasing in God's sight. This too is futile and a pursuit of the wind. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, everything is meaningless. Show us the pure, eternal meaning you have made for us in your Son, Jesus. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. What are you worth? Now let me explain what I mean by that question, not what is your net value or how much money you have in the bank. What are you worth? That is, if you were to break yourself down into all of your individual chemicals and elements and take the quantity of those chemicals and elements and sell them on the open market, how much would you fetch? It's about $160. Now, for someone like me, $160, it's not bad. But let's get some perspective here. The most valuable part of you is your potassium, actually, at about $104. And it's kind of a big jump down to the next one, which is your sodium at $28.57. Which means, here's the perspective part of it, that most of you is worth about $30 worth of salt and $100 worth of bananas. Now, $100 worth of bananas is still a lot of bananas, so let's get a bigger perspective. The average cost of a coffin is about $2,000, which means that the box that will one day hold the sum total of all of your precious little elements costs 12 and a half times what your precious little elements do. Now, cremation is a bit more cost-effective, of course. You can get a pretty decent cremation up in Minneapolis for $750, but still, consider that, $750, $160. That means you are worth more being burned to smoke and ash than you are sitting under the sun in this room right now. That's absurd, isn't it? Of course it's absurd. Death is absurd. And when we think about death, our life is absurd under the sun. I've often heard that death is natural. People say quite frequently, death is a natural process. It's a natural part of life. No, that is just plain wrong. In point of fact, death is the most unnatural thing. Death is a result of sin. It came into the world because of sin. So death exists in the world opposed to God's perfect creation and perfect will for us. Death comes into the world hostile to and hateful of God's perfect creation. This is why all of our life, everything under the sun, all of our work and our toil and our effort and our struggles and our sufferings, all of that is absurd and meaningless when we meditate honestly on the inevitable certainty of our death. Human mortality rates were, the last time I checked, sitting pretty steadily at 100%. I don't think that's changed. The only certain result of our long and meaningless life under this sun is death. It is the 100% no money back guarantee of this universe corrupted by sin. And our 160 bucks of elements, they're not worth enough. They're not worth enough to save us from sin. They're not worth enough to save us from that $2,000 box in the ground. They're not worth enough to save us from 750 bucks worth of smoke and ash and meaningless vapor. If you look at our centerpiece painting right above the altar here, right in the center, if I took a ladder and I went up to that painting and I had a scrub brush and I had a big bucket of paint thinner and I scrubbed away the cross from the center of that painting, what kind of image would we be left with? We'd have grief. We'd have the darkness of despair, all that black paint. And we'd have the pale, grinning skull of death staring directly back at us. Why? It would be absurd to make such an image the centerpiece of our worship. So then why do we make that centerpiece of our lives? That's what we do whenever we remove the cross from its central place in our heart, when we scrub it away from our heart. Why would we make such an image the center of our lives? Why would we willingly fill our days with grief? Why would we willingly turn all that we do into pointless drudgery? Why would we fill our minds with restless worries about earthly junk? Why would we prefer sin to salvation? Why would we prefer futility? But that's exactly what we prefer when we remove the cross of Jesus from its central fixed point in our hearts. We were dead before that cross of Jesus. We were corpses in sin. We could no more find meaning and purpose and fulfillment in this earthly life under the sun than a cadaver could find fulfillment in its vocation of being a cadaver. I've been to funerals before. I've been to graveyards, a lot of graveyards. Don't ask. I've never once seen a corpse that was self-actualized. We needed life, but we couldn't conjure it up in ourselves. That life had to come from outside of us, and it had to come directly to us. Because the cross of Jesus, it's not just some part of our life. It's not just some facet of our identity that gives a certain meaning to our life. It is the only thing that gives anyone's life any meaning whatsoever. It's the centerpiece of God's plan to save us from damnation. It's the crux of all of his creation. Because after the fall, after death came into the world, God made his own creation futile. God made his creation meaningless for us. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "For the creation was subjected to futility." The creation was subjected to futility. "Not willingly, but because of him," that is God, "because of God, who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." God tells us in his word we can't look to anything in this life or this world under the sun because he's made it meaningless to us. But yet God also says he's given us that one thing needful that we need for salvation. He's given us a different sun to look to, a sun above and beyond the sun of our universe. S-O-N, sun. He's given us his holy son, Jesus, on the cross for us. And to do that, Jesus took on the fullness of our 160 bucks of earthly elements. He took that on, but he spent every cent of that perfectly for you. That sin that brought death into the world, that sin that led God to make his own creation futile and meaningless to us, that sin that we still live with every day and struggle with every day, Jesus resisted that sin. He fought against it, and he conquered it absolutely for you. Jesus' life is the only thing that gives absolute meaning to any human life. He bought us back with far more than earthly money or the value of earthly elements or any of the junk of this world. He bought us back with his own body on the cross. He bought us back with the blood that he shed so that our sins would be completely covered over, that our sins would be drowned eternally. And he suffered the sheer futility of hell on that cross so that we would never have to know what that is. The teacher writes, "When there is a man whose work was done with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and he must give his portion to a man who has not worked for it, this too is futile and a great wrong." Now, for man to do this, this is futile, to work so hard to accumulate all this stuff and then not to be able to reap the benefit, but somebody else who hasn't worked for it just takes it from you. For man, this is absolute futility. But for God to do this, to put all of his work and all of his effort into treasures that he does not use for himself, but instead gives over to humanity, this is not futility. This is the only meaning in life. This is not a great wrong. This is the greatest good. And that greatest good doesn't just sit there on the cross. It comes to each one of us directly. God, right from the very hand of God himself, he puts into our hands his food and drink of the body and blood that was on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins that now comes to us in the Lord's Supper. From the very hand of God, he puts into our hand the Bible, the words of Holy Scripture, the holiness and wisdom of that word. And that same Bible that we have is the word that was made flesh in Jesus, the word that was crucified on the cross, the word that rose triumphant from the grave. The salvation won for us on the cross and delivered to us in the word and in the sacraments is why every little element of your life has profound meaning for God. Under the sun, you aren't worth $160. You are worth the treasured price that Jesus paid for you. Under the sun, your life has perfect meaning because you mean everything to God, your Father. The only certain result of your beautiful life under God's sun is that one day all of your accumulated elements will be raised again, triumphant, glorious, and holy before God's holy throne. And you will claim your promised paradise. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord, I know no one in heaven or earth who gives me the same assurance as you do through Jesus Christ. Nor do I have it in all friends, works, and honors. Lord, I have no refuge except in the affection which is now your Son's. Without this hope, I would be lost. But death cannot harm me, for it is swallowed up in victory. Praise be to you, Lord God, for you have given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.